Well, we're going to be in different places of Scripture tonight. I'll have you turn, first of all, to Psalm 19. But I'm going to quote another verse that will kind of be the springboard for what we're going to be doing tonight. We are looking at some disciplines that ought to be in each of our lives in order that we might live godly lives that are pleasing to the Lord. And we've said that to the extent that these disciplines that we're dealing with are in our lives, then there's going to be an extent of godliness there. And to the extent they're not there, we're going to be suffering in that area of godliness in our spiritual lives. And we've looked at four disciplines thus far in our first three messages. Said we need a discipline of the gospel. Got to be saved first. You're not saved, man, you're not going anywhere as far as being godly. Number two, you need the discipline of submission. Saying, I mean, thy will be done in my life, Lord. Not my will, but thine. Need the discipline of prayer. Prayer is communication with God, and we need to verbalize our request to Him. He gives us that avenue. We're blessed in that when we're saved, we're given that access to God's throne. What a blessing. And yet, many times we don't access the throne. And then we need the discipline of worship, we said last week. And said worship that should encompass all of our life, not just when we come and assemble ourselves together as the Lord's church body. Because in the Bible, worship is used to describe both specific activities and a way of life. And so tonight, let's look at another important discipline, and it's this. We need the discipline of our heart and mind. We need the discipline of our heart and mind. You might say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, it's a principle that's found in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, where Solomon wrote, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We need to keep our hearts, guard our heart. That word "keep" means to guard. Keep our heart with all diligence. That's what I'm talking about, the discipline of our heart and mind. And what I'm talking about is an intentional programming of our heart and mind by the things that we choose to think on and choose to dwell on. You know, a lot of times we're guilty of what I call stinking thinking. We just dwell on the wrong things, and you dwell on the wrong things, it's going to bring the wrong kind of things into your life. We know that our mind is an amazing gift of God. Amen? It just really is. Even before we got saved, we could understand that what our mind does is mind-boggling, you know. And think of all the processes in the human body that are controlled by our mind. And many of those processes are just automatic. We don't even have to think about it. Our hearts are beating right now. And you don't have to think about your heart beating. You don't have to think about breathing, do you? There's certain things that the processes go on. Your body will digest the food. All you got to do is eat it. You know, if things are working the way they're supposed to. What I'm saying is the mind is something else. And for believers, though, we have the extra special blessing of having the mind of Christ. What a blessing. And I want you to understand, though, that thinking right thoughts doesn't come to us automatically just because we're saved, just because we're indwelt by God's Spirit, and just because we have the mind of Christ. That doesn't mean you're automatically going to think the right thoughts. And, you know, Satan knows that the control of our heart and mind is key to the control of our lives. And the quicker we realize that, whoever controls that basically controls how things are going to go in our relationship with the Lord, the quicker we'll realize that we need to program ourselves. And it is programming. Yeah, I mean, your brain is a computer. Your mind is a computer. Your heart needs to be programmed in order to have the right things. That's why, you know, our heart, you know, Satan knows that is key. And that's why our heart and mind is regularly under attack by him. I used to have a book about this in my library, and I think I lent it out to somebody, and I don't remember who, and I didn't get it back. Yeah, but it was a book by Dr. Tim LaHaye, and it's called The Battle for the Mind. And in that book, he writes about this very thing that I'm preaching about tonight, how we need to really guard our heart and our mind, and how that the things that that Satan brings our way, we dwell on the wrong things, what it's going to do is going to have a negative effect on our life. And we know that we've all struggled at one time or another with our thought life, right? I mean, in fact, on a daily basis, we find ourselves battling thoughts of worry, doubt, fear, lust, evil thoughts, anger, malice, bitterness, and we could go on that list. And the closer we get to Jesus coming back, I think the tougher it's going to get, because Satan knows he's got just a little time, and so he's going to ramp it up. And boy, there's a lot to ramp it up with in the day and time which we live. And when such thoughts come that ought not to be there, you know, there are times when the Holy Spirit immediately pricks our heart regarding our thoughts, and we wonder, man, how could I even think that, you know, being a Christian? Then there are times when the Holy Spirit pricks our heart about our thoughts, and rather than think that, we try to justify our thoughts instead, which is the wrong thing to do. So we continue to dwell on them rather than confessing them as being wrong and doing something about them, and wind up with negative effects in our life. And then there are those who don't even give their thoughts a second thought. And that's an indication that a person may either be lost or severely backslidden to the point that their heart is hardened to the things of God. Now, the psalmist here, let's read our passage here. And he talks earlier in Psalm 19 about the heavens declaring the glory of God in the first part of the chapter. And then in the middle part there, he's talking about the law of the Lord, or the Word of God. And he gives different names to the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are righteous, right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then when you get down to where I want to be at, he's talking about this matter of sin in our life. Verse number 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Here's the verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the things you think on, the things you dwell on, okay? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, the psalmist here prayed that not only would the words of his mouth be acceptable in the sight of God, but also the meditations of his heart. His desire was that his thoughts, or the things that his heart and mind dwelt on, would be acceptable unto God. Now, you know, we are usually so quick to judge others because of what we see in of their outward actions. While maybe we've not done those actions, we've thought such things ourselves, or maybe even worse than that. And, you know, that can be kind of dangerous too. Now, I want you to understand this. Before a person does something wrong, they normally think it. You know, it's true. Jesus said it was true. In Matthew 15:19, Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Paul addressed the issue in Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. I'm going to turn over there. But Paul called the things the works of the flesh, those things that I just that Jesus was talking about, proceed out of the heart, and the works of the flesh. They come from a mind controlled by the flesh rather than by the Spirit of God. And that's why Paul said, "You walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And we need to keep in mind that God not only sees and judges our actions, but He also sees and judges our thoughts. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now, none of us would want our thoughts from this past week just put up here on the on the wall for everybody else to see, would we? We just wouldn't. I know I wouldn't. I know you don't. We struggle with our thoughts. And there's some times when, like I said, a thought will come there and you say, man, where did that come from? Nevertheless, we need to understand that our thoughts are exposed before God. May not be exposed before men, but they are exposed before God. So the question before us this evening is, how can we discipline our heart and mind to have the right thoughts? And I just want to share three truths with you. Number one, we must recognize the sources of wrong thinking and avoid them. Recognize the sources of wrong thinking and avoid them. Saying that came back out in the early 1980s, just as the personal computers hit the scene, and they became popular back during that day. In fact, they would call it GIGO, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. Okay, garbage in, garbage out. And if you want the good output, you had to have good input. And most computer errors were computer operator errors. You put the wrong thing in. I mean, if you put the wrong thing in, you were going to get the wrong thing out. Scientists tell us that the human mind is the most complex and amazing living mechanism in the world. In fact, right now running on TV, I saw it the other night when we were watching Wheel of Fortune, there's a TV advertisement running. We've got a little boy and a little girl that says that very thing. And then right at the end of the advertisement, after they hear this guy say that the brain is a most complex and amazing living mechanism in the world, the guy goes, like that. But it's true. The brain is amazing, and our brain accounts for our ability to think and remember and love and hate and feel and reason and imagine and analyze, among other things. But it's a small organ. You think about it, it weighs about 3 pounds. It's estimated to contain 12 billion cells. 12 billion. And here's the complex part of it. Each one of those cells is connected to 10,000 other brain cells. Whew. That's a lot of connections. In fact, it's 120 trillion brain connections. That's a lot. And in order to have things go well in our physical lives, we need to have as much of our brain fully functional as possible, right? And people say, I have a half mind to do this. Well, I hope you do it with your whole mind, not your half mind, right? If you only got a half mind, you're not going to be thinking right. Our brain goes, so goes our physical lives. And I understand this better than most folks because I had some brain cells damaged back in 2002 when I had a light stroke. And, lost a little bit of my memory. Some of the memory is gone from that. But when you got a fully functional brain, that's a good thing. When you are hurting from blood being cut off into an area of the brain and you get what they call a dead area, that's not a good thing. Some have compared the human brain to a sophisticated computer, but technology hadn't even come close to duplicating the human brain. The guy who he holds over 50 patents for the with IBM, for the IBM computer, said that he acquired most of his inventive ideas from studying the functions of the human brain. His name is Dr. Gerard Dirks. 50 patents, most of it derived from studying the brain. Our brain supervises everything that we do, from the involuntary beat of our heart to the conscious decisions of life. Controls our hearing, our sight, our smell, our speech, our eating, resting, learning, prejudices, and everything else that makes us behave as we do. And our eyes and our ears, get this now, our eyes and our ears are the primary avenues that receive the information that programs our mind. That's why it's so important to guard your eyes and guard your ears. And those things influence our lives. The human mind can be compared to, in some respects, to a file cabinet, because it's the principal place of storage that we call our memory. And from what is on file in our mind, we make our deductions, our judgments, and our decisions. Now, the things that we see and hear influence the thoughts of our mind, and our mind determines our actions. Okay? So, if you got to guard what's coming in through the sight and through the ears, because you want the output to be right, right? You don't want the garbage in and garbage coming out. You want a good input so that good output. Everything that we see, hear, touch, taste, or smell is recorded on the lobes of our brain, and they're never totally forgotten unless an area of the brain becomes damaged. Yeah, you can go down to the nursing home, at least you used to go down to the nursing home. They don't want to let you in there now, but you could go down there. And some of those people are on, part of their area of their brain keeps bringing up the same thing over and over again. They bring up memories from way back when. They can't remember what they ate yesterday, but something in that file cabinet up there, you know, they can't forget that. It's there, and they keep spouting it off. Some information remains in our subconscious files and can't be recalled at will, as can those things that are in our conscious section. Now, sometimes all it takes is a sight, a smell, or a sound to draw something back into our conscious thought. If you've ever been walking down the mall and they were playing a certain song, and that certain song brought back memories of when you heard that song or something special was going on with that song, that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes it can be a smell. You know, certain smells remind me of my grandmother cooking. You know, and my grandmother was a great cook. My mom was a good cook too. My wife's a good cook. She don't think she is, but I didn't get this way from starving, I can tell you that. she fattened me up when my mom couldn't. But there are some things that we need to consider at this point. Okay, pay close attention. Okay, because everything that we see and hear is indelibly recorded in our heart and mind. And number two, because the things that are recorded in our heart and mind greatly influence how we think, right? They do. And thirdly, because our thinking influences our behavior or how we act, then, number four, and this is it, it is of utmost importance that we guard our heart and mind as believers. Now, that Proverbs 4:23 that I quoted a while ago comes into play. Now, I don't know, most of us in here probably remember Ted Bundy, right? The serial killer. You remember Dr. James Dobson, the folks on the family went into the prison and actually had an interview with him. And I talked with him about the effect of pornography on what he did. And he said, you know, it was a great influence for taking him in that direction. Now, that didn't absolve him in any way from his guilt before man or God. But it does tell us that we need to guard our hearts from evil influences. I mean, if you just dwell on the wrong stuff, you're going to get the wrong output. And James 1, verse 14 and 15 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, like a lot of you. And back during that time, they were filling the minds of young people with perverted sex, rebellion, drugs, and the occult all through music. That's where it was coming from. And do you think that has anything to do with the mess of our society today? I think it does. Or how about all the violent video games that there are today? You think that might have something to do with the violence we're seeing, especially from young people today? They want to blame it on guns. Why don't we blame it where the real blame lies? Hollywood and the video game makers. You know, we see all the gruesome themes and the violence in movies that pervade our day. Is there any wonder why there's a corresponding increase in savagery in our world? People are fierce. Hollywood video game creators and others fill the TV and movie screen and video games with evil communications. Many disc jockeys and radio stations fill the airwaves with evil communications. Many publishers fill the newsstands and bookstores with evil communications. What does the Bible say about evil communications? It says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." It's going to affect your way of life. It's going to affect the way that you live, right? If you have evil communications, it's going to corrupt the good manners. Remember, the mind is a supercomputer. Garbage in, garbage out. So let me ask the question, what are you programming your mind and heart with? So we must recognize the sources of wrong thinking and avoid them. So number two, we must recognize the sources of right thinking and embrace them. Now I want you to turn to Psalm 119. And of course, the main thing that we need to program our heart and mind with is the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse number 9. Look at Psalm 119, verse number 9. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Well, listen, if that's be the case, what is important for a young man to do? Take in the Word of God, right? If you're going to cleanse the way, verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." We'll skip down to verse number 105. Verse number 105 tells us here, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." Well, if you're not in taking the word, you're kind of walking in the dark, aren't you? Yeah, walking in the dark. The Word of God must become our primary source of programming. Remember, if we want good output, we must have good input. God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You know, when Israel got in trouble with the Lord, it was because they didn't pay attention to His statutes. They didn't pay attention to what He said. I mean, He told them up front, if you do this, it's not going to go well for you. If you do this, if you obey, you know, if you disobey, it's not going to go well. If you obey, things will go well. And then they disobey and wonder, why in the world are things going bad for us? And people still do the same thing today. It's sad. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So, talking about the Word of God and its place in our life. Romans 12, verse 2 says that we're to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does one renew their mind? The book, Word of God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." How did we receive? Well, we heard the Word. By grace through faith we got saved. Amen. Well, how do we walk? We receive the Word, and by grace through faith we walk a Christian walk. "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And of course, there's always 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work. So you can't minimize the importance of the Word of God. In fact, we must emphasize the Word of God. We can never have a heart and mind that please God without regularly reading, studying, and meditating on the Scriptures. And that's because we cannot be influenced by what we don't know. You know? There's great principles in here that are taught in the Word of God. There are great things that we need to know. How should I do in this particular situation? Well, you know, I have found in my life that most of the answers you're going to find in the Word of God. And if you don't find the direct answer, you're going to find a principle that's going to lead you to the right answer. And if you'll pay attention to the principles of the Word, oh, how we desperately need to discipline our mind and our heart with the Word of God. The Word of God must be our primary source of thinking. Now, for the next one, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And I didn't tell you, you can let those others go, by the way. We're not going to be back over there. But Philippians 4. And we must program our mind with those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. That's what Paul said in Philippians 4. Look at verse number 6. He said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's the hearts and minds. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." There it is. We must have nothing to do with the sources of wrong thinking. Paul told the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians 5:11, he says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So, what is the right kind of Christian communication? Flip back a few pages there to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And of course, we have to walk wisely in this world, don't we? Verse 15, Ephesians 5:15, Paul said, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." This means you're paying attention to what's going on around you. "Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Do you know what God's will is? Where do we find God's will? Well, it's found in the Word of God. "Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Look at this. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Over in the book of Colossians chapter number 3, look at Colossians chapter number 3. It says something similar, just a few pages over to your right there. Colossians 3 verse 16 and 17. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." There, we've already talked about that, right? "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So, we must program our mind with those right things. Recognize the sources of wrong thinking and avoid them. Recognize the source of right thinking and embrace them. And here's the last thing I want to share with you tonight. We must resist the temptation of confident thinking. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12. And what I mean by confident thinking is you hear something, you say, "Oh, well, I'll never have a problem with that." You know? Romans 12, and this is, of course, where Paul is beseeching the Romans and us to present our bodies to the Lord. But verse 3, Yeah, you know, after he tells us to not be conformed to the world and but be transformed by the renewing of our mind there in verse number 2, he says in verse 3, "For I say unto you, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, I'm going to have you turn to the last place in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Just a few things here and we'll be done. We must resist the temptation of confident thinking. Now, here in 1 Corinthians 10, he is talking about all the problems that the Israelites, the children of Israel, had in the wilderness. Look at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 10, 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea." Now, those were some miraculous things, right? The pillar of the cloud, the Red Sea, parting of the Red Sea. All were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In other words, they identified in that they went through with Moses, went through that. And did all eat that same spiritual meat, talking about the manna. And that was a miraculous from heaven, right? And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Remember, had the miraculous water that was provided when Moses spake to the rock? When he struck the rock? we see here, but he says in verse 5, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And as he says in verse 7, "Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." And he says, now, verse 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." There it is right there. Okay? A confident thinking. Well, that'll never happen to me. Huh? Well, that was the Israelites. That's not us. You know, that was back then. We live in 2021. We do live in 2021, don't we? Yeah. I keep getting mixed up on the year these days. I keep wanting to write 2012 for some reason. I guess switch around. I don't know. But he says there, in verse 13, let's reiterate verse 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Confident thinking, I want you to think about this. Confident thinking has pride at its source. Says, "Oh, that's not going to affect me." What have we seen recently about pride? Pride will bring you down, won't it? Yeah, pride will bring us down. Now, understand that we aren't going to be able to totally avoid the sources of wrong programming because of the world that we live in. But we can control some things, and what we need to do is control the things that we can control, right? I mean, when you're riding down the road, there's some things that you're not going to be able to avoid. If you're out in the shopping area and shopping, you know, some things that you're going to have to make yourself discipline yourself to guard your eyes and hope that the things that you're not able to guard your ears from that you'll replace it with something when you get home. But not everything is in our control, and we're going to face a spiritual battle as long as we're in this life. And that's why we need to heed the admonition of Paul to the Ephesians there in Ephesians 6:10, when he talked about, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So we need the whole armor of God. And that's a whole other message on its own, okay? But you study out the whole armor of God. Part of that whole armor of God is the offensive weapon God has given to us of His precious Word. The Word is important. And the Word of God can help us to battle the world, the flesh, and the devil in our lives. And though a lot of what we are bombarded with in this world is out of our control, we should nevertheless control the things that are in the realm of our control. And I'm talking about the things that we allow in our eye gate, in our ear gates, that we have power over. You got a power over that TV. Okay? You got power over the radio. You got, there's some things you got power over. And so we need to watch, and we need to guard our close companions. See, you can guard it. You get around the wrong type people, and they start talking about the wrong type things, that can program you in a wrong way. So you need to avoid that as much as you can. Are the meditations of your heart tonight acceptable in the sight of the Lord? What's on your mind? Is it full of God-dishonoring garbage? So, we need to look at what we're filling our mind with, and can those things that be that are described in the terminology that we saw there that Paul used in Philippians 4:8. Are those the things that we're filling our mind with? If not, it's time for some serious reprogramming. And maybe the problem is that you haven't got God's nature and divine power in your life that only comes from being born again. I think we all claim to be born again, but that's a primary issue. That was the very first thing that we talked about. And if that is the problem, Jesus made a way to have His mind, and that is to repent of our sin and come to Him. What a blessing it is to have the mind of Christ available to us. Amen. So I trust that this will help you. These are disciplines of godly people, discipline of our heart and mind. May the Lord use it in your life for you to be a better servant of Him. Let's pray. Father,